T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's all the weapons that he, maybe he doesn't have that number one wide receiver, but he has that number one threat in George Kittle. And now he has three backs who can do pretty much anything. Versatile, Tevin Coleman, yeah. Matt Breida, and who's the other running back?
McKinnon got hurt last year.
Coming back from the ACL, I'm tripping. And then, you know, you have all three of these guys who can really, you know, implement certain things that are key to what Kyle Shanahan likes to do. Splitting the running back out wide to see if you're in man coverage or zone coverage. Exactly. So, you know, you have these weapons all around, and what do you do in second and third round draft picks? You get two receivers, or you get a receiver and then a converted
running back.
Jalen a guy Hurd. Who can pretty much do everything on the field. Right. Tight end, fullback, running back, wide receiver, H-back, whatever you need to do to kind of, you know, throw the defense off. So you have weapons all over the field. So can you stay healthy? That is the whole question of 2019.
I wonder why the expectations, they feel like they're higher than they should be. Peter King was talking about a playoff team. To me, and this team feels like there are a lot of question marks. And I always feel like when there are a lot of question marks, some of them are going to work out, but some of them aren't. And it feels like the 49ers don't have that much room for error. They're going to need most of these question marks to come out on their side.
True. And that's the great thing about this team right now, because there's so many question marks. So now a team scheming with these next few months to kind of figure out what they're going to be, instead of it being a plus or minus, now you have question marks. So now you're having to cover this or study this to make sure what this player is going to be like. But Kendrick Bourne, he's a guy, question mark.
Right.
The second tight end after George Kittle, who's going to come in, he's a question mark. These young rookie receivers, question marks. Jimmy Garoppolo's health, question mark.
Right.
How's this offensive line going to be, question mark. How are these safeties going to be, question mark. There's question marks all over the field. How's the depth on the D-line going to be? That's kind of a good thing going into the season. It's only going to create bounds of competition, because now you got these question marks trying to, you know, vie and get these spots, because, you know, there's some spots that are open.
Yep.
That running back position? You got three guys who are fighting for a position. Go ahead.
Well, you said Jimmy Garoppolo's got the health question. I noticed you didn't say we don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo can get it done or not with the gifts he has. You know what I'm saying? Like, health, I get it, because he got hurt. That leads me to believe that you believe in him. You think he's a good quarterback and you can win with him.
I physically believe in him. Coming from a system like they run over in New England, having an all-time great quarterback like that, Tom Brady, in front of you to sit and just watch, not have to play, sit and watch. That's why he was able to come in right away and be able to contribute on a team that's trying to win a championship. So now, fast forward a couple of years, he comes out here in a great situation with a great head coach and a great fan base or team to kind of, you know, hone on his craft. So the second part of that is his mentality coming back from an ACL injury. Mm-hmm. You know, can you, when the game's on the line, when that guy falls into your knee, or when you scramble out the pocket, is that going to be in the back of your mind when this team needs a first down, or you need to get rid of the ball and be smart because you are a franchise quarterback? These are certain question marks that you're talking about, Steiny, that he's going to go and deal with all season long.
In the great John Madden, I'll never forget, he has a saying, if you have three of one thing, that means you don't have one.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the running back position, and I see Coleman, McKinnon coming off an injury, and Breida. I guess I'm asking you, and I do believe in Shanahan's, you know, his moxie, you know, for offense. Is that going to work? Do they have the bell cow, or is it running back by committee? And if so, how confident are you in this unit?
It's going to be interesting to see, because Jared wasn't there last year. They didn't have him to, you know, incorporate him to the offense. So now they have him. He's added element. Maybe he's that big power guy that they need on the goal line, because you're going to need to get that first down when it's third and two, or you're on the goal line. You're going to need – Matt Breida's not going to be in the game, because you need that extra yard or two to fall forward. Mm. So Jarek may be that guy. And then Breida, who's the split-out guy, can kind of do everything. Tevin Coleman can kind of do everything. He's done, you know, wonders under Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. So, you know, you have, just like you said, you know, John Mehta, you have three. But at the same time, you may not have nothing, but you have three guys that you can kind of, you know, make some things happen. And this is the NFL. Guys get hurt, injured week by week on a daily basis. Not the NBA or baseball like that where guys are locked in for months on end. It's great to have three backs in the NFL.
And they all match up differently. Ian Williams live in studio with Bonte Sterney and Guru here on 95.7 The Game. Ian Williams will be part of the 95.7 family throughout the football season and even after that as well. Helped us out at our draft show, had a good time doing that. And McKinnon, Coleman, and Breida can do all different things. As you mentioned, they're going to be matchup nightmares. Real quick on Jimmy Garoppolo, you talked about what's going to be in the back of his mind if he's scrambling or if a defender's coming at him. He's going to be thinking about that knee. Let me ask you about him playing with the knee brace. I know quarterbacks play with the knee brace, but Garoppolo never really has played with the big knee brace that he's going to play with this year. How much does that impact a football player, especially at a skill position, when you have to play with the knee brace?
Yeah, it's really going to impact him. I think to start off, it'll mess with him a little bit more because he's never, like you say, he's never had it on. He's always been an athletic guy who's never really had to wear braces or anything like that to kind of, you know, slow down or impede, you know, whatever physical process is going on. But now that he has that on, I think a few games into the season, he'll forget about it. In a game, when it's loud and you get that play call in, you got guys looking at you in a huddle, I think all that is going to, like, he's going to forget about a Bryce, a Donjoy that's on his knee. Like, forget about that. I got Aaron Donald coming bearing down. I got this team. Right. I got to get to the promise line. I got to get to the end zone to win this game. And screw a Donjoy plastic brace. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I like that.
Hey, Guru used the term. I think we ought to retire it. Bell cow. Ain't no bell cows anymore.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm looking at 20. That's one.
Okay.
Only one running back in the NFL averaged 20 or more cows. Yeah, not last year.
Saquon.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like,
this year.
Like, the days of 25 carries are done.
You're going to see a lot of that New York.
Really? You think so?
Both teams.
Saquon and Le'Veon.
Yeah, it's coming back.
All right.
Zeke.
He's holding out because, you know, he needs to get paid.
Yeah, David Johnson, Arizona.
Yes, exactly. It's coming back.
Todd Gurley's done, though, right?
I mean, it's a wrap.
So you're saying there's going to be six running backs that carry 20 or more times?
I believe it.
Okay.
I believe it.
Well, then we can use it. Or we can only refer to Ezekiel Elliott as the bell cow.
Yeah, I didn't even it looks like they got, you know, three guys that are going to do three different things and, you know, In God we trust, but I believe Shanahan when it comes to offense because of Kittle. I talk to these guys like he's a weapon. He had a breakout season. But, Ian, is he going to be that Gronk to when you play the Niners and I'm a D coordinator this upcoming season? We're taking him away. And I don't know if these guys, the Niners, have guys on the outside. There is no T.O. There is no Jerry Rice. I know Deebo Samuel's in town, but how confident are you in the wide receiving core that Garoppolo is going to be able to throw to guys that have separation to keep the chains moving?
True that, and that's why you have a guy like Kyle Shanahan come in as an offensive coordinator and a head coach, offensive-minded head coach, to be able to manufacture guys to be able to get open. You have a George Kittle. You have your Gronkowski, what you said of this offense, that defensive coordinators are going to have nightmares having to, you know, scheme up things to get him out of the game. Because if you leave him in the game and he has, you know, he'll probably get 10 to 15 targets a game, maybe a little bit less than that. If he catches 70 to 80% of those targets, he can do damage. He can run away from your DBs. So are we going to, you know, cover one hole him? Are we going to inside out him? Or, you know, whatever, you know, defense we'll call up against him, but can these receivers get open? That's the question mark that's going to be the whole season. But you have a Kyle Shanahan who can run play action, get a guy open, run screaming over the middle, or, you know, motion the guy to get the defense talking. Now they mess up, and now you have a guy running wide over the middle, touchdown, this and that, that. So that's where it's going to be.
And I want to play something for you. Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports, he was talking about Kyle Shanahan. Great that you brought up Kyle Shanahan and his play design or whatnot. But here's what Colin Cowherd had to say about Kyle Shanahan. He believes that he's a young Bill Belichick. Listen to this audio.
Shanahan has a doppelganger in this league. It's called Belichick. Belichick was a great coordinator. Everywhere he went, legendary. Everywhere he went, teams got better. Went to Cleveland, won some games, but couldn't win consistently because he couldn't get the great quarterback. Okay, Kyle Shanahan has an incredible career as a coordinator. Everywhere he's gone, he made Matt Schaub a Pro Bowler. Everywhere he's gone, he made Matt Ryan an MVP. then he leaves, the teams aren't the same, the quarterbacks aren't the same. So since he's been in San Francisco, here's the quarterback attempts. C.J. Beathard's thrown 400 balls. Nick Mullins, 275. Brian Hoyer, 205. Jimmy G, only 267. Those are the quarterbacks he's dealt with. The team health has been 29 and 23rd, meaning his teams can't stay healthy. The schedule, the 7th toughest and the 15th toughest. In a division with Seattle and the Rams, both really good. Kyle Shanahan, when he has had Jimmy Garoppolo, a legitimate franchise quarterback, is 6-2. That's 6-2 as he's rebuilt with a tougher-than-average schedule, with a team that can't stay healthy, and a bad defense, which you can't blame him for that because he's not drafting the players. Their secondary's atrocious. So if you look at him when he's actually had a quarterback that's considered a franchise quarterback, 400 yards a game, 93 passer rating, they win by over a field goal, 27 points a game, 6-2. This is Belichick before he got a franchise quarterback.
Strong right there by Colin Cowherd. I don't know if he's Belichick. I haven't seen it enough, Ian, yet. A lot of people praise him. As he said, Shanahan is slightly better than Sean McVay, who led the Rams to the Super Bowl last season. Why do you think everybody hypes up Shanahan? Or what do you believe? Is Shanahan really this next great coach in the NFL, Ian?
Young Belly. That's what you can call him.
Young Belly.
Young Belly. His rapper name. You know you like Lil Wayne.
He does like Lil Wayne.
Big Lil Wayne fan. Carter. Yeah.
Is he the next coming of Bill Belichick? Possibly. Maybe. So, yes. Does he have the offensive genius of Bill Belichick? Possibly. We're seeing it. You just saw all that from Call. You heard all that from Colin Kaepernick. How you say his name?
Cowherd.
Cowherd. They're fighting uphill. Injuries. New team. Building over and everything like that. Still winning games. 6-2 with Jimmy G?
Yeah, they were 6-2 with Jimmy G, yep.
So you're still winning games. And you're in the middle of the pack on the offense. They were like, 16 or 17th last year.
Couldn't score in the red zone.
That was with an undrafted rookie quarterback who started half the season, and that's with a backup quarterback, and you were able to do that. What does Bill Belichick do every year with the talent he has? Oh, well, they have Tom Brady, and they have nothing else, and they still make an impact in the AFC, and they still go to the championship every year, damn near. Why can't Kyle Shanahan do it? He has that now. He just needs some health. Now he needs a quarterback to stay healthy, and now he needs guys to go out there and compete and do their jobs on Sundays. And if he can get that, I believe in years time, 10, 15 years down the road, then you can kind of, okay, well, all right, that thing that, you know, Colin Cowherd said, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I guess it came to fruition.
They always say in basketball, if you're an assistant coach and you move to those 12 inches change everything to head coach. There are coordinators in the NFL who become head coaches, and I guess it doesn't fit. You know, maybe there's more responsibility than they were used to having. Is it possible that Shanahan's a great coordinator but not a great head coach?
To be a head coach, can you motivate grown men? And I think he can motivate grown men. He's done a good job at that. We've heard no inclination of anything coming out of that locker room where, you know, we don't like Coach Shanahan. We don't like how he coaches. We don't like his teaching. We don't like his philosophy. Have we heard any of that in today's age in social media? Have we heard any of that coming out of that locker room? No, we have not. We would have heard of something negative right. That came out of that locker room by now, and we have not. So that tells me that he is a head coach of men. Can he coach and can he lead these men to where they need to be professionals? And I think he's done that. He's done a great job at that. And John Lynch has done a great job of that, too.
Now, you played the game. You've been in NFL locker rooms. And Nick Bosa, you know, he got drafted. There's high expectations. He's unsigned. And I know from the sidelines, we hear you never talk about another player's money. And he's yet to play in the NFL. I'm asking you, Ian, do you think any of his teammates are kind of looking at him sideways? The fact that he's not signed or no way, no how, it's a business and this man's trying to get his money.
I'm sure guys not on the team aren't even paying attention to what's going on here right now. Guys are either, you know, finishing up their vacations, they're training to get their minds and bodies right for this game, this season that's coming up, for training camp that's coming. They're coming up to win some jobs. They're not worried about this other guy's money. I mean, I know for him, you know, Nick Bosa, you know, coming off of injuries, you know, guys are trying to get the, you know, the guaranteed contracts as a rookie contract coming out now. So that's pretty much all he's trying to do. I'm sure there's some offset language in there that him and his agent aren't fond of. So they're trying to figure that out. Same thing with the Robbie Gold, thing. You know, just trying to figure out.
He got paid.
He got paid. Yeah, true that. They're just trying to iron out some of the contract, negotiations.
Who has more pressure on him this season? Lynch, Shanny, or Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think they both. I mean, equally, Jimmy G, you get this big contract. You got George Kittle. You have a threat. We gave you some wide receivers in the draft. They may be young, but you still have Joe Staley, all-time, 49er. You have a right tackle who's growing into his own, is going to be an all-pro in a few years. You have an offensive line that can kind of do some things. You have a fullback who can,
Juszczyk's one of the best.
Yeah, one of the best out there. You have some threats at running back. You have it all right there for the most part for Jimmy G. Now, Kyle, can you just manage this all? Can you manage it properly on the in front of the cameras, and can you manage it in the meeting rooms, in the locker room, and stuff like that?
The one thing that does kind of surprise me a little bit is I do feel like Shanahan's a golden boy, kind of, and he hasn't done it as a head coach. He's obviously a great play caller. And I'm not saying he can't be all these things, but it feels like people think it's a sure thing that this guy is going to be a great, great head coach. And it's not that I'm saying he can't. I'm just wondering why it feels like he gets the benefit of the doubt that maybe some other coaches don't have with that, who came into jobs without head coaching experience.
Probably because he's done so much previously, Like they were talking about, Matt Ryan, and that year they went to the Super Bowl, and they should have won it. A couple play calls here and there, they should have won. And he was able to do that. I remember in 2015 when he played against us, and they came out here, and they were, everybody's talking about the Atlanta Falcons, Kyle Shanahan, his offenses and stuff like that. So he has that pedigree. I feel like fans out here and I feel the media out here are just starving for the 49ers to be winning again in the Bay Area.
No
because there's a need for it. You see the Golden State Warriors, what they're doing.
Right.
You see the Giants and what they're doing right now. Can we get that from the 49ers? So they're trying to give the coach the benefit of the doubt of pretty much everything. You can go out there and commit murder. They'll still try to, give him the benefit of the doubt because he's the head coach of the 49ers.
Ian, I'm Mr. Optimistic on this show. I mean, I'm always, I love hard,
Yeah, I'm right there.
And so much of this season and the success of it for the Niners hinges on Garoppolo, as you just mentioned. But we were talking yesterday, and there's something in the contract to where, let's just say, Jimmy G played all 16 and he didn't play that great, that they could get out of that contract. Okay, I guess I'm asking, because to me, Ian, that would be a major setback if this guy is not your quarterback. Where do you go? Who do you get? If that were to be a scenario that the Niners were facing, that would be all bad, right?
It could be. But at the same time, at least you traded for a guy. You gave him a chance. You gave him a full season of health, 16 games. Showed us what you can do, and we don't feel this is comparable to what we need to win in the NFL. So you know what? This is why we started this contract off the way it was, because eventually we knew, or possibly knew, that things could go down this road, so that we have an out and you have an out. And you know what? At least they go down that road, and at least they don't just try to stick with it and just you're just middle of the pack for the next 3 to 5 years, and you're just mediocre instead of, all right, we messed up, we screwed up, we tried, but you know what? We have some good quarterbacks coming out in the next couple of years. Let's, rebuild again. You know what I'm saying? And 49er Nation, faithful, can you be with us for a few more years to kind of rebuild this thing? We tried with the quarterback, but we're going to try again.
We're going to have, if you guys have any questions, 49er fans, you have any questions for former NFL defensive lineman Ian Williams, give us a call at 888-957-9570. Ask the pro whatever you want about this 49ers team. And I think when we come back, fellas, I'm going to ask Ian Williams about the sweet spot, his sweet spot, the defensive line and his 49ers defense. We'll get into Bosa, DeForest Buckner, Solomon Thomas. Saw a picture with him and Aaron Donald the other day. Ian, you see that?
Oh, yeah,
Aaron Donald, he had like an 8-pack. You ever had an 8-pack, Ian?
I never had an 8-pack. I probably got it under my keg somewhere.
He has been doing some partying, man. He's been living on Instagram. You give him a follow on IG. Ian's living that gut life. He's live in studio with Matt Steinmetz, Darrell Guru Johnson, and Bonte Hill right here on 95.7 again. Let's kick it to Elena for the first time this afternoon. Elena, What's up? What's happening on 95.7 The Game?
Let me tell you, Bonte, what's happening on The Game, brought to you by Ticket Crushers. NFL Insiders Week rolls on here on 95.7 The Game. Yesterday on The Damon Bruce Show with Darren Smith, we introduced Peter King as The Game's newest contributor, and he's picking the Niners for the playoffs, given no yellow fruit get in the way.
If Jimmy Garoppolo slips on a banana peel in September, they're not making the playoffs. But I think they have to prove that they can stay upright. But I believe if Garoppolo plays 16 games this year, I'm picking the 49ers to go to the playoffs.
Check out the full interview on demand at 957thegame.com or stream anywhere if you download the awesomeradio.com app. More football breakdowns with Brian Baldinger when he joins D&D. Damon and Darren, that is, coming up at 4 o'clock. Also on the Damon Bruce Show, you can win a sweet prize when we play the name game as we do every Wednesday at 4:20. Ian Williams live in studio with Bonte, Steiny, and Guru comes up after the break. He's hanging out till 1. I'm Elena Mazurkas on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 957 The Game.
Second down and 6. Johnson again has the ball knocked out. Ahmad Brooks has it for the 49ers. That was actually Glenn Winston with his first carry and has it knocked out of there by Ian Williams. That is a rude greeting to the NFL.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Ian Williams making plays back in the day. What do you remember about that, Ian?
I was Cleveland. Oh, yeah. They tried to run power, shut that down.
Oh, you remember?
I remember the play. Oh, yeah. Glenn was out here with us for a little bit, for a couple weeks. And his first carry up.
That would be my ringtone.
Do you go back myself and watch that all the time, Ian? How many times a day do you watch that play? Or watch any of your old highlights there at Notre Dame or with the 49ers?
I have the NFL thing, so I can go back and be able to watch, you know, old games and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah,
the
Game Pass.
Yeah, Game Pass. So periodically I like to go back and just, you know, see what I used to do or see, things that Vic Fangio liked to do,
right,
our defensive coordinator, and what Justin, what Pat, what they were seeing, just so I can kind of correlate this, that thing, kind of, so I can come in and talk about it.
Ian Williams live in studio here with Matt Steinman, Starter Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill on 95.7 The Game. He's going to be part of the 95.7 The Game family throughout the football season. We love having Ian on these airwaves. And if you want to ask Ian a question here, 888-957-9570, ask the pro. Ask Ian Williams anything you want to ask him. Here on the Chittenden Body text line, we have a couple questions for you, Ian, from the 209. How raw, he used to say, how good can this 49ers defensive line be this year? Can it help out the seemingly weakness at the safety position? That is from Filthy in Stockton.
Can they be raw? Yes, they can be raw. You got 5 first rounders, so they better be raw. No, if they can go out there and just rush the passer as one unit and not just like, all right, I'm going to go get a sack. All right, I'm going to go get a sack. All right, I'm going to go get a sack. You can't do that. They rush out there and use guys coming off the bench, so they're all healthy and they're all fresh towards the ends of a game, ends of the season. This defense line can really be, one of the best units in the NFL.
I got a question about pressure because Guru asked your question. Who's got more pressure, Shanahan or Lynch or Garoppolo? I mean, you were a pro athlete, big-time Division I college player. What does that mean? I mean, can you honestly say you felt pressure on a football field? And if so, how does it affect you? And can it be possible that you feel pressure over the course of a whole year?
Pressure in high school is messing up and then going into class, and your teachers or your classmates, making fun of you or whatever like that. Same thing with college. Pressure in the NFL, now you have money involved. So now if I deliver 3,000 passing yards, I get a $200,000 bonus, or I get 15 sacks, I get $1 million bonus and things like that. It's pressure as in your sphincter gets tight. When the bullets are flying and the lights come on, your booty hole get tight.
Limit booty.
And you get nervous, you mess up, you don't think clearly. You forget about your assignment, you forget about what you need to do, and you're so worried about, doing your job or not trying to do someone else's job, you mess up. So that's the type of pressure that we're talking about on the field with Kyle Shanahan and Lynch. It's more of a pressure of, we need to get back to the old ways, old winning ways of the 49ers. And, you know, with Jed York and that whole staff that they like to do, you know, that he comes from the DeBartolo side, like, can we get back to that? That's where that pressure is coming from.
Now, never played on your level, but I remember games where in high school where I'd have butterflies before games. Mm-hmm. But I always knew that was good. I felt that was good because then I felt like, okay, I know that the stakes are high for this game. It really means a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean,
thought he was a hooper.
Why isn't pressure, like, to me, I view pressure as a good thing. Like, if there's pressure on you, that means you're going to be more focused, more determined, more willing to make the sacrifice to win, all those kind of things. Like that, like when people say, Steph Curry's got pressure on him next year. Well, cool. Mm-hmm. He'll rise to the occasion. Most greats do.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like, and guys, because they start off, you know, so young, you know, high school, college, even before that, AAU and stuff like that. So they've kind of grown to, you know, it's like a injury or a pain, you know, in your ankle, right, or whatever like that. You just, after years and years of just dealing with it, it's kind of like nonchalant. It's kind of nothing now. So that pressure that people like to always try to, you know, speculate and put on guys, you know, that pressure isn't even real. It's just guys just right there. It's play, you know.
Right.
That's what Damian Lillard was talking about. There's more pressure on a mom, you know, or family in Oakland, you know, than I have right now. You know, I'm just going out here and just playing basketball, making, you know, millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
A family, you know, that's struggling, trying to do this and that, has more pressure. And that's where that pressure's coming. Man, pressure is just a word. It ain't nothing real.
Now, speaking of pressure, I think the whole secondary for the Niners is under a lot of pressure, and mainly Ian Richard Sherman. I mean, he's your leader. But if you don't get the play on the field, can he lead? Can the leadership without, you know, the dynamic plays supersede what you're not doing on the field? Or he's got to go out and ball out, then he can get in people's face like, you're not doing this, you're not doing that.
Well, I think he's still going to ball out. I think he really had
Madden had him at a 93. I was like, they hooked him up.
Yeah.
Talk about Madden ratings in just a second. Oh, yeah. I want to ask you about that.
Yeah, they hooked him up on that. You know, he's been an integral player in the NFL for the past few years. So, of course, you know, you had to give him that respect of a 93. And he didn't have a bad year last year. You know, if you actually look at the film, you know, he had a couple plays here and there. Of course, he's going to get, you know, beat by speed, you know, from time to time. He's come off an Achilles. I think he's going to be a lot better this year. And then with medicine today, you know, guys rehabbing, coming back faster and better than they ever had before. But can he stay on the field and be able to lead this unit? I think so. Can he be off the field and lead this unit? I think so, because he's such a cerebral player and such a respected player in that locker room. I feel like he can be on the sideline and still be able to coach guys. Mm-hmm. And Akello, he sees something from Akello, and Akello would take it and be like, oh, he's just – be quiet, man. You're on the sideline. You know, I'm over here. No, this is Richard Sherman, one of the top cornerbacks in the league for the past few years. Like, yes, I'm going to listen to him. Yes, I'm going to take his coaching.
Ian Williams live in studio with Matt Steinman, Sterner Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill, right here on 95.7 The Game. Before I ask you about the potential of this defensive line, you said earlier that you believe they could be one of the best in the NFL. But Guru is just talking about the Madden rating with Richard Sherman. A question from the 530 on the Chill Not Nobody text line. Question for Ian. Did you check out your Madden rating every year, and was it accurate, or did you make a stink about your Madden rating?
I started my Madden rating at 2011. I was at 64, I think. I was like 64, and I every year got better. So that's all I wanted. I wanted to increase and get better every year. So I kind of paid attention, and I played the game. I didn't really play when I was playing.
Right.
I was too busy. But now, you know, it's kind of like a little pastime I do when I get some free time at the crib.
Would you get mad at the 64?
We're like, damn, 64 for real?
I gotta make a phone call.
Did you check for one? I wasn't there to make that phone call. Right. I was undrafted. Who am I gonna make a phone call? Who? What? Now if Aaron Donald makes that phone call, they're gonna hear that or whatever they need to do. But now this is a cool thing every year. You know, they kind of release their ratings to see, you know, how they feel their scouting is of guys, and, you know, speed and acceleration overalls and stuff like that. So this is cool. This is another thing to kind of talk about. It's an off season. We have nothing to talk about right now. What was the big thing on social media yesterday? Everybody taking pictures like they were, 70-something years old.
Why are they disrespectful, man?
Just random things, because there's nothing to talk about right now. You know, so they just need football back.
Did you try to FaceTime app?
No, I did not do that.
Guru did earlier. He don't let him fool you. He tried
I got
to
a conspiracy. The government's trying to get facial recognition by everybody, so they put this out and everybody just goes.
Guru, hey, you're
giving it to him. Giving it to him.
Real quick here, this defensive line. I know we talked about it before the draft. We didn't know what was up with Eric Armstead or Solomon Thomas. Solomon Thomas obviously had a rough year personally, so I think he gets a pass there for what he had to go through. I couldn't imagine going through what he went through last season with his sister committing suicide, Ian. But he's back. He looks like he's in shape. He's working out with Aaron Donald. Eric Armstead, a huge year for him, a contract year for him, and you still have DeForest Buckner there, a Pro Bowler last season, a budding superstar in the NFL, and in the draft, Nick Bosa. Number two overall. He could have went number one. A lot of people thought he was going to go number one. Then Kyler Murray entered the draft. He gets selected by Arizona. A lot of debate out here. Nick Bosa or Quinnen Williams, especially with this wide nine defense. They select Nick Bosa. Now with Nick Bosa and Dee Ford coming over from Kansas City, how good can this defensive line be in 2019?
The past few championships outside of the New England Patriots, let's look back at that. You got the Philadelphia Eagles. Who was before them?
The Patriots over the Falcons, yep. And then it was the Patriots. It was Patriots over the Seahawks. They didn't go back to back though. Who was before?
Outside of the Patriots, the Eagles. So pretty much every team, if you actually look at the Super Bowl winners outside of the Patriots, every team that won the Super Bowl, they had a dominating defensive line.
It's true.
Dominating defensive line. When we were dominating in 2011, 12, and 13, we had a dominating defensive line. When the Seattle Seahawks were dominating the opponents, they were dominating on the defensive line. This is what you need to win in the NFL. Your defensive line sets up everything in training camp. It lets you know that your offensive line can block. They can't block because if your defensive line is going to be busting through them day in, day out, down after down, you know that you're going to have a problem going into the season and that offenses are not going to be able to cover these guys or stick with these guys. So at the end of the day, can we pin our ears back? Can we call cover one or cover two defense or whatever like that and let our defensive line go out and eat and we don't have to, drop anybody back. We rush four guys and we leave seven in coverage to be able to stop these offenses that like to, create mismatches or create, illusions and mishaps on the defensive side. Can we rush four or five guys and get to the quarterback and shut down the offense? And I think this defensive line front can.
Can I ask you a little bit about Jim Harbaugh and what it was like to play for him?
Because
it seems like he's got a track record of kind of wearing out his welcome, not being able to last too long because he's so intense. Did you find that to be the case? Because you played under him for, 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
Started out great, didn't end so well. You guys lost 4 of 5 his last season. What's your take on Harbaugh? Is there any merit to that?
And a couple of those losses are real, real shaky. I remember those losses. With him, I mean, the intensity, he's a former player. And then, he knows what players, what's demanding of a player. He knows what he needs to give his players. He knows what his players can do on and off the field. Wouldn't you want that in the coach? Wouldn't you want to keep that around? You don't want someone coming in just, hi, Bonte. Hi, Guru. How you guys doing today? You guys are ready to play?
Hey, I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. No, that's not going to win a game. You got to go out there. You're not playing badminton or something like that or playing 2K for the tournament. No, you're on the biggest stage, playing a game where I can step right here and the guy can dive with my ankle and break my ankle or break my knee or whatever like that. This is a physical game. So you can't come in here and talk about, peaches and cream. Oh, yeah, I need you guys to go out here and play very well today. Everybody's going to be wild. Watching. No, you need a fiery passion, intense guy who's going to lead men. This is not 18-year-old. It's not 15-year-old. Right. These are 30-year-old men with 3, 4, 5 children making millions of dollars like that. You can't come in with a non-intense coach and expect to win. So you have a guy like that, the type of defense we had, the type of offense we had, the type of guys we had. We were a veteran team. He just needed to come in and kind of just put that all together and just let us be free and let us run and let us play. And that's what he did.
But it gets old. Right after a while.
Mm. I mean, I'm not the person paying him. I'm not the one writing his checks.
So, no, I mean, it gets old just
hearing that message.
I mean, not really. I mean, we were winning.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then in 2014, we had a lot of injuries and a couple games here and there. We go 10-6 and still make it to the playoffs.
Right.
And then, am I sitting here right now, or is Harbaugh still here? Is he still coaching in Levi's, the stadium that he built? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right.
Ian, from a record standpoint, we were talking yesterday, success. What would you record-wise deem the Niners' success from a record standpoint? I told the fellas yesterday I thought 8-8 would be – that would be like, okay, the car's on the right track. But when you look at this team and what they got to accomplish and overcome, give us a record to where you would say, you know what, things are going in the right direction.
I don't like to give a record because every team is going to be a little bit different as the season goes on. As the season progresses, you're going to have injuries, you're going to have trades and this and that, re-signings and stuff like that. So it's hard to really give a true record of what I expect this team to be. I expect this team to compete in the NFC West with Seattle and how they're kind of built right now with Frank Clark and Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
They have guys, but there's even more question marks there than they do here have here in San Francisco. And then the Arizona Cardinals, more question marks. So I feel like, if you're going to be, two out of the four best teams, L.A. and San Francisco, you can at least compete and maybe win one, steal one down there. Maybe, Jared Goff has a bad game, you steal a game, or Aaron Donald misses a game right there, whatever it may be. Maybe you win a game right here, and then, you're talking about a wild card or, some type of, playoff run. Can that happen? I think so. So I'll stay away from the numbers, but I think this team can make a playoff run.
Ian Williams live in studio with Bonta Hill, Matt Steinmetz, Derek Guru Johnson, 888-957-9570. Ask anything you want to Ian Williams here at 95.7 The Game. Let's go to Norman in Santa Clara. He has a question for you, Ian. Norman, what's happening? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Ian, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
What's good, my man?
Hey, so you're talking about intensity and what Harbaugh and everything brought. I think a lot of people forget, back in the stick, who brought that intensity to the D-line. You know what I mean? Old Jim Tomsula. You know what I mean? I've watched that guy get you guys pumped up, fired up to play that type of style of defense that we need to play. Do you think this team right now has a caliber to get back to that old style defense that we had at the stick? You remember that, right?
Mm-hmm.
No rushing TDs, not giving up 100 yards to any rusher. I think Marshawn Lynch, we gave up to him the first game. I mean, that was the last person we gave it up to. Do you think that defense can get back to that style that we had at the stick?
I remember that. Yeah. We need guys to have that mentality again. I think they're building that. We lost a little bit of that when they had that turnover from, 15, 16 to 17. We had a lot of turnovers. We lost Patrick. We lost Bowman. We lost a lot of guys that had been on these teams for years and years and years on this defense. So I think bringing a guy like Richard Sherman, who's been with Seattle for the past few years, I think bringing in Quan Alexander, he's coming off his injury. I think bringing a guy like Dee Ford, I think DeForest, kind of blossoming into, one of the top defensive interior pass rushers in the league. I feel like all that right there is kind of building that mentality of, no, you're not going to run on us. No, we don't want a 100-yard rusher on us. No, we're not going to let you just, line up and do what you want to do and just, call plays and sit back in the pocket for, 5-10 seconds and just deliver the ball however you want to. I think that mentality is being instilled day by day and game by game and week by week and year by year with this staff.
Ian, let me ask you something a little off the cuff here. You were a teammate, Colin Kaepernick. We know what's going on with him. Do you find it preposterous that he doesn't have a job in the NFL? And if you do know Kaepernick, if you keep in touch with him, does he still want to play NFL football?
I feel like if you stay in touch with social media, I feel like you would have seen that he's still working out. He's still in shape. He's still maybe doing all these press things right now with Nike and other entities. But he's still in shape. He still wants to play football. He's not, 40-something years old. He's still a young guy. He's still a guy who led a team to a Super Bowl run. He's still a guy who can play and still a guy who can make things happen in the NFL. If a guy like Lamar Jackson can, head a team over in Baltimore and make things happen with his legs and not so much with his arms, but is progressing that way, why can't Colin Kaepernick do it?
So they always talk about when an organization or a coach makes a move, how it's going to affect the other team or how it's going to affect his team, particularly at the quarterback situation, because the team knows how good each quarterback was. When Jim Harbaugh made the move to Kaepernick from Alex Smith, and Alex had been hurt, was everybody on board with that at that time?
looking back, I feel like we were just trying to win. We were. It wasn't a young team where, oh, you know, or social media was all around where, oh, my God, you know, it's going to be big things. No. We have a veteran team. You have Frank Gore, Joe Staley, Crabtree, you know. You have a veteran team. So when you're a veteran, you're worried about winning. You're not worried about this and da-da-da. You're worried about winning. And who gives us the best chance to go out there and win and compete on Sundays? And at that time, it was Colin Kaepernick because it kind of added a different layer. And you saw that as the season progressed, Green Bay in the playoffs.
They didn't know
what hit them when we went out there and started running triple option.
Right.
And they didn't know what was going on. Clay Matthews running around with his head. You know, he didn't know what was going on or who to cover or who his assignment was. That's exactly why you made that switch to Colin Kaepernick. Kind of add that little diversion to that playoff run that we went in. Do we get that same distance with Alex Smith? Probably, maybe, I don't know.
Right.
But because that switch, you know, we were able to get to where we, you know, the lengths that we got to.
How would you assess the job that Lynch has done thus far? Because we took calls yesterday and a lot was made about the 6-year contracts for both, pressure, but then one could go before the other. Do you buy into that? And, you know, again, just you being in the game and you look at the talent pool that they have, what letter grade would you give Lynch thus far?
Lynch, I would probably give him probably like a B. Couldn't say a B minus or B plus, but like something like a B, you know, in that range, because I feel like with the roster the way it was in 2016 and that turnover, we were such a depleted team, and for them to come in and to make such a great, you know, turnaround and then keep certain pieces that were already on the team and then start to develop guys. And, you know, even last year, if Jimmy G doesn't get hurt, I feel like they at least win eight to 10 games.
Wow.
At least. Possibly, because they were in games towards the end of the season where, you know, if they had him, you know, or, you know, vice versa, you know, a touchdown or a field goal there, here and there, he can win you a game. That's why he got paid that big contract. So I feel like, you know, if they stay healthy, you will kind of get more of a understanding of what his grade's going to be, because this season is a real test, especially if everyone stays healthy. All right, everyone's healthy in 2019. You did great this season. The guys did great on the field this season. All right, well, you know what? You get an A-plus or A-minus for this because of what you've been able to do in these, you know, these sample years, these 3 or 4 years to be able to change this franchise around. Mm.
Ian Williams live in studio with Matt Steinman. It's Derek Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill here at 95.7 The Game. He'll be with us throughout the football season talking 49ers, talking NFL football. Before I ask you this question, Ian, and let's take one more phone call here from Danker. In San Francisco. Hopefully he's not smoking that Kush right now, so hopefully we can hear him. But he has a question for you, Ian. Danker, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, gentlemen, right on. Ian, thank you for all you did for the team.
Appreciate you.
And, man, you're just getting better and better on air.
I'm trying,
great to
man.
Hear you.
I'm trying.
Guys, same with the show. It's growing. Great job. I mean, this is super random, but even Tater was at some games back in the day when I was there with me, you know, and I was begging for some screenplays. I know you're on the other side of the ball, but did we have any of those ready to go? We just never had a screenplay. It's super random, but, man, wondering if that even existed.
I feel like the screenplay, and I appreciate you for, you know, shouting out and, you know, showing me love and stuff like that. I feel like the screenplay, especially for a defensive lineman, it's an easy tell a lot of times because, you know, screens usually come, you know, when it's second down and long or like long downs, you know, third down we need, you know, it's kind of a, we're just shooting a shot for something. You know, if we get a, you know, great play out of this, we do. If not, you know, it's a safe play, you know, it is what it is. But, I feel like, you know, this year with the type of personnel that they have, you know, last year you had just Matt Breida, who was your feature back. So he's kind of like your screen guy. Jeff Wilson would have been, you know, more of your power back, you know, first, second down back.
Right.
And the screen isn't particularly his forte. So I feel like with these three backs that they have that can kind of, you know, we alluded to early in the conversation, that can kind of do everything, can split out and kind of, you know, play their best ball in space, I feel like there's a possibility that you can see a lot more screens this year.
Man, this hour has flied by.
Man.
I'm telling you, man, this was quick. I wish we could have you the rest of the show. And real quick, do you still have nightmares about going up against certain offensive linemen, or who was the hardest guy to get by? Real quick, Ian.
Hardest guy to get by. I have to always give it to Joe Staley, even though I never went against him in a game. Plenty of times in practice, and he made me better in practice.
What about outside of Joe? In the league?
Man. I know Marshall Yonda was really good.
Mm.
in 15. He's been one of the top offensive linemen in the league. So, yeah, I would probably say Marshall Yonda or Rodney Hudson.
No nightmares, though, right?
Ian no Williams nightmares. Just nightmares. I'm a grown man. I have no nightmares. I'm a man now.
Ian Williams, very good stuff, man. This was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for the time today and the insight on the 49ers and what it was like playing for Jim Harbaugh. It was a lot of fun. Matt Stymiest, Dirty Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill. We will be right back. Open phone lines, 888-957-9570. We'll open up to anything you want to talk about, Warriors, Giants, or 49ers right here on 95.7 The Game. And it is all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.